Good morning. Ron Daf Ches Amud Beis, about midway down on the Amud. These Amudim, these Dafim are huge. They're huge both in words, they're huge in concepts. We're going to do what we can in the world of Daf Yomi to go through them efficiently, to go through them well, to understand as much as we can, to shed light on some of the Gemaras as much as we can. But of course, as I've mentioned a number of times, I highly recommend to spend as much time as possible outside of the Daf Yomi Shir itself, to try to reinforce what these messages are, to be able to better understand some of the questions we have in Shir, and to take our learning up to a new level. By the way, if anybody would like Daf Yomi tests on a weekly basis, I'd be happy to get you tests on a weekly basis that can be marked by an organization, by the Dear Shu organization. They do have weekly tests that we can get. I spoke to the head here in Eretz Yisrael. If anybody would like to take monthly tests, they have them in, I think even in Ramat Beit Shemesh, monthly test where one can get a stipend if they get a certain mark on that test. Please let me know. I'd be happy to share the information with you. We're about midway down on Ches Amud Beis right now. V'chol harotz eliros ba'yera'eh. Again, we're going through the timeline of the Sota, the process of the Sota. And right now, she is in the Beis HaMikdash. And they're going through the process of what the Kohen does, and they're trying to convince her out of it, and then they try to convince her into it once the name of Hashem is erased. So now, the Mishnah mentioned, if we take a look back at the Mishnah, on Daf Zion Amud Beis, the Mishnah mentioned somewhat of a cryptic line, because it says that if anybody wants to watch, they could watch. But then it says that women have to watch. Or then it says another line about women watching also. And the Mishnah is perplexing because either referring to men or women. Let's see in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to explain exactly what I'm not able to explain right now very well in English at 6 a.m., but the Gemara is going to explain it very nicely. Hagufa kasha, says the Gemara. This is itself a question. Why? Amra kol harotza lirospa roeh. We said that if anybody wants to watch this Sota process, is allowed to watch Alma, which seems to imply Loshna Gavri Vloshna Nashi, men or women. Whoever wants to watch, fantastic. Be a spectator, watch away. The Hadar Tani, and afterwards we said, Kol Hanashim Mutaros Lirosa. All women are allowed to watch, literally, which means Nashim in, Anashim Lo. Women seem to be allowed to watch, but that implication is that men are not allowed to watch. So what is the double language in the Mishnah? And it seems self-contradictory also. Answers the Gemara, Amar by Tirgama Anoshim. You're right. Really, the first statement is going on women. Anoshim. Not Anoshim men, but Anoshim is going on women, that any women are allowed to watch. Amarle Rabava, Kolarot Zaleros Baroa Katani. It says Kolarot Zaleros Baroa Katani. Anybody's able to watch. So why specify or why limit this to women? Elamar Rava, you're right. Let's explain both statements. If anybody wants to watch, they're able to watch Loshna Gavri Loshna Nashi, men or women. And then the next line is referring to specifically women that they have to watch. Meaning, I guess if women are passing by, they're not just allowed to watch this process if they want, but they must stand by and watch the Sota Bekil Kula. Shenemar V'nivastru Kol Anashim, a pasuk in Yecheskel. V'nivastru Kol Anashim Lo Sasena Kizmaschena, that women will watch, they'll get deterred away from doing so, and that's kind of the message behind it. We have to remember again that even though we seem to be focusing on the woman in this process, as Rabbi Rosner points out, it's not just women that is the guilty party here, it takes two to tango, and there's a man here that is guilty as well, and he goes through a gruesome process too, if he is guilty. If she's guilty, she kind of blows up there, he blows up too, wherever he may be. So why exactly it's the woman going through this and not the man? It seems to be more of a gzeras hakasov, it says in the Torah, that she's going to be the one to go through the process. But we have to recognize that it's not solely focused on her. That's what we're describing a lot in the Gemara, but it really takes place for them both.
Mishnah said mutaris, so that's a mistake, or...
Good question. Good question. You're right, because if we take a look back at the Mishnah, it said Kolarot Zalerospa, right? Yira is able to watch. And then it seemed to say that Kol, right? V'chol Anashim Mutaros Lerosa.
So we're saying that it means Asuris. I mean Chayavis. It's interesting.
That's what the Gemara seemed to imply. That's the Gemara seems to apply. Rashi on the Mishnah points out the question we had in the Gemara. That's exactly right. Didn't we just say that before, that anybody's able to watch? So I guess Mutaros has that extra level. So I'm not sure. Let's just mark down that question. I want to try to mark down these questions. Sometimes I have this show, I don't remember every question. You had some homework yesterday.
I did.
Right?
Very bad at homework.
Okay, says the Mishnah. Thanks for the questions. As I spoke to somebody yesterday, too, please ask any of the questions you have. I don't have all the answers, but let's ask questions. It's more of a chabur. Let's ask questions. Let's discuss what the answers could potentially be. Let's hope we do research and follow up. Let's keep this engaging. Says the Mishnah.
If you don't remember what the question is, you have it recorded.
That is true. I find myself that with a full-time job, the amount of time that I have on before my job begins, then after my job ends, in between a little bit of eating and a tiny bit of family time, that I find myself trying to focus on preparing the next day's shiur, and I was like, but I really want to get to the questions! And I think every day it's been like, oh God. And then it's just kind of very, very late at night, and I'm like, okay, I must sleep for just a couple hours before the shiur. So I'm trying to juggle, I'm trying to balance.
Give me so much credit.
Baruch Hashem, it's a schus, but hopefully we'll crowdsource these answers also, and we'll all try to be in it. We'll all try to make it happen. Says the Gemara. Sorry, says the Mishnah. Okay, big topic of Mida Keneged Mida, just in general by Sota, Mida Keneged Mida. The Gemara, the Mishnah is going to explain the concept, and the Gemara is going to explain a number of things that take place to the woman and exactly why they happen. Says the Mishnah, B'midash Adam Modeid Ba Modedin Lo. Big line, Mida Keneged Mida, that in the way that a person acts, that is what is given, thrown back to him by Hashem. He Kashta, let's specify Sota here. He Kashta as Atzma Laveira. She beautified herself to do an Aveira. Hamakom nivla. Then Hashem, Hamakom, literally Hashem, is going to make her disgusting, so to say. She made herself beautiful. Hashem's going to make her non-beautiful. If we have a few moments at the end of the year, we have the word Hamakom a number of times in the Gemara, in the Mishnah. Hamakom referring to Hashem. Very, very rare do we have Hamakom referring to Hashem. Can anybody remember a few times in our lives that we refer to Hamakom as Hashem? Excellent. By a shiva, we say Hamakom Minachem Eschem Besoch Shai Ritzon Mishlan. Anywhere else? Acheinu Kolbeis Hamakom Yirachem Yirachem Hamakom Yirachem Aleim Hamakom Yirachem Aleim. Another one. By the Arba Banim in the Pesach Seder, we refer to Hashem as Hamakom shortly after you talk about the wicked son. Anyways, very interesting. Common denominator.
Yeah.
Let's discuss. Hopefully, we'll have a few moments at the end of Shir. We have to start by the Mishnah, by the Gemara, midway down on Testament Beis. Let's see if we have a few moments. Okay. He galsas atzma laveira. She revealed herself, so to say, to do an aveira. Hamakom gila ala. That Hashem's going to reveal her, kind of this process will be in public. Biyerach etchila baveira etchila. With her thigh, she began the sin. V'achar kach habetan. And then the pleasure kind of, it was able to spread up to her stomach also. Lefikach. Therefore, her thigh is going to be kind of hit first, and then the stomach will get hit afterwards. Nevertheless, even though her thighs kind of blow first and then her stomach, I don't know exactly the way this explosion happens. I'm not sure. If there are any engineers in the room that are familiar with this, please share. But to recognize that it's thighs and then stomach, and then the whole body is affected by it afterwards. Says the Gemara, Amar Yosef, Afagav Demida Betela. Rashi says, what does it mean, Demida Betela? Demida Betela, first Rashi on the Gemara. Demida Atzma Betela, Shepasku Arba Misos Basin. That even though, with the exact sin, so to say, the Arba Misos Basin, the death penalties are no longer around right now, Bimida Lo Batel. So Demida Betela, but Bimida Lo Batel. Rashi, Bimida lo batel shemodedin lahem lo v'avera, that those who sin bimida shemeschayvim ba umesim bedugmas osa misa. And you're right that even though we don't have arba misos based in the type of avera that we did, sometimes we get punished, or you know we do get punished, or a person gets punished with that type of similar death penalty. How? Damar Yosef v'chein tani v'chiyam. That even though the Sanhedrin is mevatel, there's a big discussion in Tosfos elsewhere, if I'm not mistaken. What do you mean from the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed? The Sanhedrin left 40 years before the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. What is it in Miyom Shechar Beis HaMikdash? Not for right now. Arba Mitzvos Beis Din Lo Batlu. The Arba Mitzvos Beis Din, even though there's no Sanhedrin, no Beis HaMikdash, the Arba Mitzvos Beis Din have no, are still in effect. Batlu says the Gemara, wait, but they're not around. There are no Arba Mitzvos Beis Din. Answer the Gemara, El Din Arba Mitzvos Beis Din Lo Batlu. No, it's a din. Why? Mishan is chayv skila. Whoever is chayv skila, o no fil min hagag, o chayadur soso. He's either going to fall from a roof, or maybe he'll get trampled on by a animal. Similar to what skila is all about.
Run over by a car.
Perhaps. Yeah. I'd imagine that these are more far-reaching than the exact... than the case in the Gemara. Mishan is chayv srefa. Whoever is chayv srefa to get burned, o nofo b'deleiko, will be in a fire, o nochash machisho, or he'll get bitten by a snake, and the snake's bite is like poison. Mishan is chayv hariga. Whoever is chayv beheading, o nimser l'malchus, will either get passed over to the malchus, o listin b'ina love, or maybe he'll get kind of attacked by robbers. Mishan is chayv chanika. Whoever is chayv strangulation, o tovea banar, he'll either get drowned in a river, o meis bisronchi. He'll die with sronchi. What's sronchi? Short Rashi. Sronchi brings up some sort of French word. Choli begrono, some sort of disease in his throat. His throat's going to, I think, get larger so he can't breathe. Some sort of strangulation like death. Very important Chasam Sofer. Simen Tuf Kuf Ayin Aleph. The Chasam Sofer says, a case, Rachman Lassan, was brought to him, that there was an Ish Kadosh who was killed by robbers. There was an Ish Kadosh who was killed by robbers. Do we say that, oh, he was killed by robbers? The Gemara says if somebody's killed by robbers, they're chayev, one of the Arba Mitzvos Beis Din. And what else do we know? That somebody who's chayev Arba Mitzvos Beis Din can't be buried in the regular cemetery. So the family asks, can he be buried in the regular cemetery?
That's not what the Gemara said, that whoever is killed by robbers.
Good, good, excellent. So the Chasam Sofer says, no! Eli Newman, Rebbe Eli Newman, and the Chasam Sofer, they both say the same thing. Absolutely not! The Gemara doesn't say kol. It says, you're right, those, that, da, da, da. They could get killed like this. But it's not that every single person is killed by robbers. We can reflect it back. I highly recommend. There's a daily email that goes out. It's called Daf Notes. I think an email, info@dafnotes. I've got the trade information on the WhatsApp chat that we have. Daf Notes. He basically runs through in English the entire daf. Then he gives over, like, something be'ion, a short piece be'ion, and then like a daily mashal, a nice thought. Nice stuff to kind of review when we're on the go, just kind of read through in English. I think that the insight that he brings down, or the daily mashal was actually a long piece, similar to the Chasam Sofer, brings down other cases, where let's say somebody was like a terrible person, they like killed people or whatever, and then they got killed with that penalty that they were supposed to get killed with. Still, he brings down case after case that no, we can never say, we can never actually label a person that got killed with a specific death penalty to say that he can't get buried.
You're being very controversial.
Oh boy.
No, a lot of people do that.
Tov. But the circles in which I come from, the direction, the rabbinic direction which I get, is that we don't label things.
No comment.
More there, not for right now. Big daf. Tanya, first wide line on Ches Amid Beis. Tanya, Hayer, Rabbi Meir Omer. Nine Shem Midash, Adam Amot. Right, so just in general, so we can never say, oh, that person died, oh, he must be a bad person, he died like that. Ches V'Shalom. Every death, everything that happens, it's a real sad story. We should never start being behind it. Things that happen to us, as we mentioned, I think, on Daf Beis Amid Beis, by Reb Tzadok, the things that happen to us, we can start to ask ourselves, why did Hashem do this to me? Why did Hashem do this to the world? We should take messages, but we can't start looking negatively at people. We also had a beautiful Shemi Shmuel, right? That every time a person sins, they're overcome with a sense of shtus, right? That, oh, poor guy. The Shemi Shmuel had that shot, that angle, where it's like, poor guy, he sinned. We can't start judging others. There's another thought that I really want to share, perhaps. If there's time, we'll share it, but we have to get on to our daf first. Where do you know from the type of midah that a person has, Hashem will then be exact with him. Shenemar. Now we have a number of psukim that will bring this up, and then we're going to ask why we need each of these psukim, taking us about midway down on to Tes Amid Aleph. Bisasa'o, pasuk in Yeshaya. Bisasa'o, that with a sa, bishalcha, trivena. That Hashem is going to like send us out, meaning he's going to punish us with a sa'o, kind of with that amount that of things that we did wrong, those will be our struggles. Ainli ela sa'o, meaning that's only a bigger amount of sa'o. Minayin l'rabos tarkov, v'chatzi tarkov. Kav, v'chatzi kav. Rova, v'chatzi rova. Toman, v'uchla, minayin. All these much smaller amounts. How do we know that Hashem is also going to be exacting with us, mida k'neged mida? Tamlomar ki kol sa'on. Also, pasuk in Yeshaya, that with every measure, so'in barash. Hashem will actually measure it with noise. And where do we know that if every one of these small sins will all come together into a cheshbon gadol, that Hashem will be exact and save it up and kind of punish us with a cheshbon gadol after all that we've done? Tamalomar, achas la'achas limtso cheshbon. A pasuk in Koheles, that one by one, they're going to be added up to a larger cheshbon. And we should remind ourselves, beautiful Messiah Hashem, that chasdi Hashem is double. Number one, we don't get punished right away often. And that Hashem's going to save it. Oh, you know, waiting for us to do tshuva. And then even when we do get punished, Hashem will do it in any way possible to limit the amount of punishment that we'll get. It'll come slowly, it'll be less, a bunch of sins together. We should recognize that and try to learn messages and come closer to Hashem, of course, when it reflects on ourselves, before things have to be fully meted out. So do we find all this with Sota. Why? How does that take place? Let's go through it. He amdal pesach beisa lir oslo. She kind of stood by the entrance of her home. She kind of went out a little bit. Therefore, the coin is going to expose her and kind of make her be seen by everybody. He pierce a low sojourn nine al rosha. She's going to put a nice kind of head covering on her head. Therefore, the coin is going to remove the head covering from her head. Throw it onto the floor. She's going to beautify her face. Lefikach, turning over. Lefikach, paneha morikos. Therefore, we're going to mess up her face. What does that mean, to mess up her face? That sounds like a fight. Is going to mess up his face. Rashi, Hachi Tani Lekaman. It's going to explain later on. Daf Chaf Amar Aleph. Ena Mesapekas Lishtos Ad Shepane Morikos. That she's going to have to drink a lot until kind of her face gets a little bit messed up. Ve'ineha Boltos. Sorry?
Turns green.
Turns green? Thank you. Until her face turns green. Ve'ineha Boltos, and her eyes will be bulging out. He Kachla Lo Ineha. She beautified her eyes. All this to be Mezana. Lefikach Ineha Boltos. And therefore her eyes will be kind of bolting out, as the Rashi just said. He called Loa Sara. She's going to braid her hair. Lefika coin sosar Sara. The coin is going to mess up her hair. He her also lo beetzpa. She kind of motioned to him with her finger. Lefika tziporna noshos. Her fingernails will fall out. He chagra lo betzotzel. She put on a belt for him. Lefika coin maybe chevel mitzri. Therefore, we have this chevel mitzri that we had that we discussed on yesterday's daf. I believe that the coin is going to bring some sort of chevel mitzri. The kosher lo the malamidadem, tied on her chest. He pashta loas yirecha, she kind of spread out her thighs for the boel, lefikach yirecha nofelas. Therefore, her thighs are going to fall out. He kibalto al kresa, she accepted the boel onto her stomach, onto herself, lefikach batna tzava. Her stomach is going to blow up. He achilaso madine olam, she fed him delicacies, lefikach karbana machal behema. Therefore, the coin that a sota has to bring in that sota process is a carbon mincha, and this specific one has barley type of flour. He hishkasehu yain meshubach bekosos meshubachim. She fed him beautiful wine, or delicious wine, in beautiful, in wonderful, in gorgeous glasses. Lefikach koin mashkim maim hamorim. Therefore, the coin is going to give her bitter waters, b'mekido shel cheres, in earthenware, inexpensive kelim. He asta baseser. She did this act in private, right? There was yichud. Therefore, Yoshev v'seser elyon, Hashem, who is in private, some ba'ponim, will kind of turn towards her. Shemar v'ayin no'ef shamra neshef, which means that the eye of the adulterer, so to say, it guarded the night, lemar lo seshurani ayin v'gomer, that she didn't want anybody to see her do what she did. Rashi marsha, what does it mean? Some ba'ponim? Rashi marsha, the Rashi here on top, the last wide line. Some ba'ponim penai, Hashem went to look, kind of places his eye, li parami mena, to exact retribution from her. Visamti ani es panai, that just Hashem is going to kind of place his face on her. Hashem is going to give her attention. The Marsha seems to say, interesting Marsha, I'm trying to figure out how this can happen. Marsha, the first Marsha in Chidushi Agadah, Daf Tes Amud Aleph. So, panim l'shon ponan, ubemedesh yalkud meforesh, yoshi beseser, what does that mean? Some panim shel tsuras ubar bidmus hanoif, the fearsome ba'olam znusa ein shambara, which means that if she does have a child from this boel, then Hashem's going to make that son look exactly like the boel. Some panim, Hashem's going to give proper attention. I was trying to think, when will she have a child from this boel? I guess there was no edim in this case, right? Or maybe zchus tola? The zchus was tola, according to the opinion that we have zchusim. Or if the high, I mean, I wasn't sure exactly what the circumstance was where there is going to be a child that's going to be produced from this act. But interesting, that's a powerful marsha that Hashem is going to make the child look exactly like the husband. When else does that take place? Sorry?
What is the timing here on when all this happens? I mean, it could happen a couple years after.
It seems to be that according to the opinions or according to the circumstances where it could happen later, it could happen years later. You're right. And therefore, maybe that child will be born.
Yeah.
Right. When else did Hashem make a child look exactly like the father? Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. These week's parshas, again, a lot of Sefer Bereishis here, that Hashem made Yitzchak look exactly like Avram so that nobody would suspect, because Sarah was already abducted by Avimelech, nobody would suspect that that child was from some sort of union between Avimelech and Sarah. It was not.
Yeah, I know you said before how it's all like on the man also, it's not just on the woman. But
I was going to point that out, thank you.
The day of the Gemara, it's like, it's basically word for word, is like just describing how she seduced him.
Correct. Strange. Correct. That was on my mind as I'm going through this Gemara, and it's not even necessarily right. Oh, so maybe we'll. Oh.
I would assume that Derech Olam actually is that it's more common that the man would be seducing the woman.
Correct. So what it has to be here is that because we're talking about Sota, then we're talking about the drinking of the waters and what happens with the drinking of the waters. And therefore, for instance, her eyes and her face and the hair covering, a lot of that stuff is maybe unique to the woman. Therefore, we're focusing on that in the Midah Keneged Midah. But perhaps similar ways in which the man was Mizana, even though we don't explicate it here, piece by piece, he will have a similar type of Midah Keneged Midah. You're right. It's a hard daf to try to explain the non-male chauvinism that could potentially be perceived from this daf or from the daf him.
I have a question that I don't know if you can answer or not. But it goes to whether if it was a married non-Jewish woman, what happens in that case?
So, if I'm not mistaken, marriage by non-Jews is never fully classified as marriage. It's never the type of kiddushin Nisuin that we have, and therefore, if I'm not mistaken, and please ask your local Orthodox rabbi, but any sense of adultery with a non-Jewish woman has its own big issues, but I don't think it's considered Ashes-ish, if I'm not mistaken. So then I don't think the Sota process will apply. I don't think we're going to give her anyways. We're going to erase Hashem's name for her in that case. Ellie, these are very important issues for us to understand, just in general, the Sota process and how this works and why there seems to be such a focus and so much perhaps negative PR on her, whereas we're not really talking much about the fact that he did this terrible act too. So hopefully as we go through the Gemaras, we'll understand it more. If any of us see more on it, let's please share it. Davar Acher, he asked the Beseser, Hamakam Persima Begaloi, she does her act Beseser, and Hashem's going to bring out the retribution in public. Shenemar techasa sin'o b'mas'on. That Hashem's going to cover up, so to say, the hatred with the trickery and with the deceit. Tigola raso b'kal v'gomer. Right? And he's right that even though it was done in private, Hashem is going to retribute in public. Does anybody have a flashlight?
Yeah, 1 second.
Power just went. Thank you so much, Ellie. Baruch Hashem. Tov. Let's continue learning. Let's not have little Torah. Lights are off, but Torah, the flame of Torah is going to flicker. Here we go. Umi Acher Dinafkalei. Now let's go back. We just brought out a whole bunch of things of Midah Keneged Midah. Midah Keneged Midah about all these different things that she did and how she's punished for it. Now let's go back to the psukim that we had before. We had about 3 psukim that we brought out as to how we describe that Hashem. Thank you. Perfect. How we describe that Hashem is actually going to have Midah Keneged Midah for the punishments. I think we should be fine. Thank you. Perfect. And that which we had that pasuk before that says that Hashem takes all the sins into account. I think it was the 3rd pasuk that we had on the bottom of this. He calls Sa'on, Sa'on Barash Lamali. And if all the sins are coming together into one cheshbon, then why do we have the other pasuk from Yeshaya about all these Sa'on, that all these sins come together, even the small ones, into a loud noise? Lamali Lechidimita. This shows that it's not just that Hashem punishes us for our sins, but specifically it's Midah Keneged Midah. And after words where we describe that it's for all the little sins. The other pasuk from Yishai, b'sa'ah b'shalchad triveno, for the larger sins with the sa'ah, that Hashem's going to kind of exact retribution. Lamali, why do we have to know about the big averus too? If it's small averus, maybe of course the big averus. Lichur of chimna bar papa. Are you good? Great. Oh, we're actually here.
We're here.
Somewhere right around here. Good. So we're just going to quote the psukim from down there. Excellent. Lechid Rav Chimna Bar Papa. Darm Rav Chimna Bar Papa. Ena Kodesh Baruch Hu Nifra Min Umos Ad Sha'as Shilucha. And Hashem's going to only pay back the non-Jewish nations until their time is complete. Which means what? That oftentimes we have nations of the world. Mark Twain says, you know, nation after nation after nation. And come against us, and seemingly we're like, Hashem, what's going on? Like, they just keep on rolling along, doing what they're doing. That anti-Semitism is blatant, people are getting killed, and then all of a sudden, the nation's going to be obliterated from the earth. Right? Take nation after nation, from the Greeks to the Romans, Germany, you know, all the way through, and nowadays, these nations don't even exist. So Hashem's going to kind of save up all the retribution that we have for these nations, and then kind of do it all at once. Shenemar b'sasa obishalcha the gomer. Any, wait, is this really so? Does Hashem exact retribution all at once? Remember, Rava, shlosha kosos amor spread shrine. There's three kind of cups, so to say. There's three cups of Peronos that Hashem gave him in Mitzrayim. Lama, acha sheshasa bimi Moshe. Where do we see this? One sort of retribution that's given in the times of Moshe, when Hashem punished Mitzrayim. V'achas sheshasa bimei paro necho. One of the times of Nebuchadnezzar. V'achas she'asid lishtos im chavro seha. And one sort of retribution that's going to be given in after like Mashiach comes. And therefore we see that they're punished in three stages, Mitzrayim, not in one fell swoop. So how does this reconcile with our Gemara that says that Mitzrayim's punished in one fell swoop, or the general nations are punished with one fell swoop? And so the Gemara, V'chitei mahanach azdu, we're about a little more than midway down on Tes Amad Aleph. And if we're going to say that you're right, this is the way it goes, v'ani achrini ninhu, that there was one Mitzrayim, and there's another Mitzrayim, there's two separate Mitzrayims, Tanya, no, Amar Behuda, that there's not two Mitzrayims, it's all one Mitzrayim. How do we know that? Minyamin Gera Mitzri Hayali, that there was someone by the name of Minyamin, and he was a Ger for Mitzrayim. Chaver Mitalmida Rabbi Akiva. He was a Chaver of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. I'm not sure which Talmidim these was. Those who passed away, those who not, I don't know. Amar Minyamin Gera HaMitzri, and he says as follows, Ani Mitzri Rishon, I'm a first generation Mitzri. Vinasasi Mitzris Rishona, and I married a first generation Mitzri. Osi livni mitzris shnia. Let me marry my son, literally, to a mitzris shnia. Kidei sheyia ben benis, that my grandson, mutar lavo bekahal, can then come to the kahal. Parshas Kisese describes that only a mitzri in the third generation can marry into Kal Hashem. So we see that Minyamin mitzri, which was much later in the times of Rabbi Akiva's students, therefore it must be the same Mitzrayim if the Isser of not marrying a mitzri still comes into effect. So what do you mean? Don't we have, again, we're back to the question. We always have to make sure that we understand where the questions are and where the answers are. We had a statement that says that Hashem exacts retribution all at once. Then we seem to have that there's three retributions for Mitzrayim. How does that reconcile? Eliyim Mar Hachi Mar. This is what we mean. Amar Rechim Nabar Papa, Ena Kodesh Baruch Hu Nifra Min HaMelech Ashashilucho. You're right, there's a Melech, so there's a leader. From that leader, there's going to be one retribution. There won't be like three times in which Hashem gets back at that at that nation with the same leader. But each leader, each king, is different. Perhaps in America, we have, you know, like 4 or 8 years per president. It's a shorter time span. But back in the day, I'd imagine that a king was the king for, you know, 40, 50, 60 years. So there was more time there. Shenemar b'sas abishalcha trivena v'gomer. That was the pasuk. That's what it meant. Ameimar masni l'ha, d'rvchina bar papa, aha. Ameimar teaches that which Rav Chinah Bar Papa said from here. That which Rav Chinah Bar Papa said, that Hashem punishes the Umos in one swoop. Mandiksiv ki ani Hashem lo sinesi, that lo shanisi, that I am Hashem, pasuk in Malachi, and I don't repeat. Vatem b'nei Yaakov lo chilisim, and I will not destroy you. Ani Hashem lo shanisi, lo ikisi l'uma v'shanisi ba. I am Hashem, which means that I won't hit a nation, and then repeat it, meaning do it again. Vatem b'nei Yaakov lo chilisem, and you are the b'nei Yaakov, and I won't destroy you. Hainu d'ksiv chitzi, my arrows, achalabam, meaning I will finish my arrows with you. Fascinating. Chatzi cholin, meaning I'll finish my arrows with you. However, v'hein einon cholin, but the Jews will not be destroyed. So Hashem will sometimes really, really mete out punishment to us, seemingly all out, but the only thing that will be destroyed or finished are his arrows, so to say, or his arsenal, this is arsenal, but not us. Question, which reflects on this, is after Tisha B'Av. After Tisha B'Av, we have Shabbos Nachmu. And like all of a sudden, you know, we're smiling again. The Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. What do you mean we're smiling again? Or even better, as we rise and rest, we have Tisha B'Av afternoon. Tisha B'Av afternoon! What do? We get up off the floor, we start to walk around, we watch our Chafetz Chaim videos. It's great! But that's when, if we know history, that's when the burning got intensified on the Beis HaMikdash. Shouldn't we be mourning even more and more and more? Says Rav Soloveitchik, such a powerful thought, that no. When we were sinning and sinning, and we knew that Hashem was going to really, really punish us, we weren't sure if Hashem was going to wipe us out or wipe His house out. Wipe the Beis HaMikdash out. The fact that the Beis HaMikdash started burning fully, and we still weren't destroyed, we recognized that this is a huge punishment. The Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. However, we are not going to be fully destroyed. We're going to stay alive, and we can still come back with tshuva. There's a small element there of not celebration, but a sense of real inner joy and connection to Hashem, that He's with us, that He's connected to us, He loves us, and you're right, He might be destroying our home, sending us into a long exile, but He's with us. And that's the Nachmu Ami, to recognize that it was just Chitzi Chalin, only His arrows were totally depleted, but we are not depleted, we're still here. Amar Rav Hamnuna, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nifra Min Adam Ad Shetismali Saso. That Hashem does not exact from a person until he has his fill. Shneimar Bimelos Sveiko Yitzer Lo Vegomer. Pasuk in Iyov, that Baruch Hashem, the lights are back on, that when the fill is there, Yitzer Lo Vechulu, that's when a person is challenged. Darash Rav Chinna Bar Papa Maidik Siv, a Pasuk in Tehillim, Ranu Tzadikim Bashem, that the tzaddikim rejoice in Hashem la yisharim, and for the upright ones, nava sihila, it's beautiful to sing out. Al tikri nava sihila, ela neve tihila. Zem Moshe v'David. What's it referring to? Moshe and David. Shalok sholtu sonan b'masem. That the powers of the world, their enemies, do not have any sense of shlita, any sense of, what's the word in English? Control. There's a better word. Do not have any sense of control, so to say, over their structures, over what they made. Why? Or what? What are some examples? David, iksiv tavu ba'aretz she'areha. That by David, we have the pasuk in Echa, which describes that, and Rashi quotes that Ir David, those walls are, so to say, were sunk into the ground, they weren't destroyed. What David HaMelech builds is not destroyed, which is why I heard from my brother-in-law Ezri a while ago, that the only wall that stays, the only wall from the Beis HaMikdash, from the Har Bayis that's still up, the Kotel HaMaravi. Why? Who laid that foundation? David HaMelech. What David HaMelech builds, it stays forever. David HaMelech, the foundations that he builds, stays forever. Powerful David HaMelech. That's perhaps why Hashem did not allow David to build the whole Beis HaMikdash. Hashem needed it to get destroyed. Therefore, he needed his son Shlomo to build it so that he could actually destroy the rest of the Beis HaMikdash. Moshe Damar Mar, Mishanimne Mikdash, Rishon, Moshe Rabbeinu, because when we built the first Beis HaMikdash, Nignaz Oel Moed, the Oel Moed was put into hiding. Krashav, Krasav, Richa, Va'amudav, Va'adonav, Hecha. Where did all these sockets and the hooks and the boards, where did everything else go? They were put away. Hecho, where were they put away? Amrav Chista, Amravini Tachas Mechilos Shel Hecho. They were kind of hidden underneath the Hecho. Interesting just to think about, just a food for thought, that again I heard from Rabbi Rosner, but just something for us to think about is the little Mishkan, you know, you pitch the tent, you kind of like a portable sukkah, you know, you pitch it and take it down, you pitch it and you take it down, and all of a sudden you come, that was never destroyed. That's hidden. But the Beis HaMikdash! Whoa! For Beis HaMikdash! That's destroyed twice. Why? What? Interesting. Is it just Moshe? Maybe there was some symbolism behind what it was, right? If you take a look in the Sforno, the first Sforno in Parshas Pekudei, feel free to take a look there. Ayin Shum, he brings down perhaps reasons why or a reason why that might be the case. Right. Very interesting point. Maybe also it was the initial connection we had with Hashem, which was a Mishkan. Maybe it was also more tsanua. Sometimes when we're all out there, yeah, this is us, this is our huge, beautiful house. Sometimes it doesn't stay forever. Anyways, some thoughts. Tonar Bon Sota Nosna Misha Rose. Lo. Isota looked at what kind of placed her eyes on what she shouldn't have. Masha Biksha, Lo Nitan La, what she seeked, what she wanted then, which means her Boel, is not able to beat her, which means that once that process takes place, once she has adultery with him, she can't marry him afterwards. Uma Shabiyada, she loses everything. And without what she has in her hands, her husband, she's married, not Lua Mimena. That means she's left with nothing. no longer the man who she committed adultery with, no longer her husband. Shekola nosen enam b'masha enam lo. Very powerful line in the Gemara right here, that whoever places their eyes on something that's not theirs, masha mevakesh enosen lo. That which they want, but that which they seek, they don't get. Masha b'yodo nolen heimenu. And that which they've already have, they lose. Lots there. Lots there. Let's. Lots there, just, we have to move, but lots there, I know I've been saying it a lot that we want to come back to certain thoughts, but lots there, let's just take the muster, let's review, let's think about it. Some examples. Benachash HaKadmoni, the earlier Nachash. What are those examples? Shenosan Inav Masha Ina Royulo. He places eyes on that which was not fit for him. Masha Mavakesh, Masha Bikesh. Who was he Bikesh? What was
Chava?
Aw, thank you. That which he was Mavakesh, which was Chava, says the first Rashi on top, lo nasnu lo. He wasn't able to marry Chava. Mashab yado, which was what? The Gemara is about to discuss, but his posture, his feet, his slyness, his ability to be a chacham, natlu mimenu, that was taken from him. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani amarti hei melech al kol bima v'chaya. I said that you could really be the head of the animal kingdom. Rashi, second line, shelakach aso arom mikol. He was the wisest of all the animals. V'achshav arur hu mikol beima. He's cursed from all the animals. U'mikol chayos asadam, from all the chayos of the field. Ani amarti yehalech b'kumas gufa. Hashem said, I said that you should go with an upright posture. Well, that means legs, right? Whatever that was, he somehow went with an upright posture. By the way, the Abarbanel has found, the Abarbanel says this was all a dream. This was all Chava's dream. Just feel free to Ayin Sham in the Barbanel. He describes the whole story. It was Chava's dream. Anyways, that's not the general direction which we go, but just to think about it. Sorry to throw everybody off.
You can't just say it and move on.
Ayin Sham. So, Akshav al Gechone. Akshav al Gechono Yelech. Then he will go on his stomach. So he first was up posture and kind of down on his stomach. He lost his posture. Ani amarti machol machol adam. Hashem said, you're going to eat real food. Achshav afar yachel. Now he's going to eat dirt. Oh, what's the beautiful pshat we all know about the Nachash eating dirt? His curse was eat dirt. His curse was to eat dirt. There's an abundance of dirt. Dirt's everywhere. That's a curse to eat dirt? Is that a blessing? You never have to work for your food. You never have to make food. Always have your food. So some could say, it's not delicious. Okay, you always have your food. It's always there. Don't, you know, go shopping and making and cooking and cleaning. You always have your food. It's right there. Beautiful. They're brought down. I remember where. Beautiful, beautiful thoughts. Is that what? Is that the greatest gift that we can have is to turn to Hashem for our food. Not having our food is the greatest blessing. We can turn to Hashem every day and say, Hashem, please feed me today. In relationship with Hashem, there's a beautiful analogy where, let's say, a king has got a son and a son and a servant who sin, like he's got to send them away. So to the servant, he says, you go away, here's like a bank account, a credit card, you know, do whatever you want, I don't want to hear from you ever again. But by the son, he says, no. Here's like $10,000 less, but here's my cell phone number. And call me with anything you need and I'd be happy to help you. Who would we prefer to be? The servant with more money but no relationship, or less money and a relationship? That was perhaps the Nachash in contrast with Adam and Chava that were sent out and they have to work, but they have the relationship with Hashem. Hu amar erogis Adam v'ishas Chava v'esas Chava. He wanted to kill Adam and marry Chava. Achshav Eva oshes beinoch uvein aisha. Now all of a sudden he placed anger between the husband and wife. Uvein zaracha.
The snake and the wife.
Between the snake and the wife. Thank you. Between the snake and the wife, meaning he wanted to marry her and have a relationship, and all of a sudden now she hates him. Uvein zarech uvein zara. Now everyone hates a snake, right? The offspring. Who likes snakes? I know I live on Katlav now. Katlav is known to have snakes in the summer. It's a scary thing. Nobody wants to see snakes. You mean you see a snake? You want to see a snake in the zoo, right? Go to the biblical zoo. You look behind a cage. Oh, cool. Nobody wants to come and encounter with any snakes. At least most people that I know don't. V'chein matzinu b'kain, v'korach, u'bilom, v'doi, v'achitofel, ayin sham. Each of these stories, right? They wanted things, and they tried to get things, and not only did they not get what they wanted, but they lost what they had. V'gechazi, v'avshalom, v'adon yahu, v'uziyahu, v'haman. Haman, right? Haman. Shenosnu einam b'masha eino roilo lohem, masha bikshu lo nitan lohem, masha b'yodam not lu mehem. That which they had was taken from them. V'yerech hitchila b'avera v'chulu, right? Moving on in the Gemara, lots here. Big dafim, baruch Hashem. Mida k'neged mida, minahan imili. How do we know this? Ilam amisham diksiv, b'seis Hashem es yirechech, no fellas, v'es bitnech tzava. It means if we're going to say that first that first her yerech kind of explodes, and then the beten afterwards. Vaksib, we have a different pasuk in Bamidbar that says v'tzavsa bitnav nafla yerecha. First we have beten, and then we have the yerech. So what is it? Is it first yerech and then beten, or first beten then yerech? Amar Abaya, no. He liet that when the kohen's going to curse the woman, so to say, and say that if you're guilty, this will happen to you. Liet chila yerech v'hadar beten liet. He's first going to curse, so to say, the yerech and then the liet. Umaya ki badki, but when the waters check her, ki or chayhu badki, then when they check in the normal manner, beten beresha. That means that the beten gets affected first, v'hadar yerech and then the yerech. Bekol anamik siv, that by the curse, latzvo beten, the nafal yerech. First by the beten and then by the yerech. Ahu demodala coin, the beten beresha v'hadar yerech. That means that the kohen is going to kind of admit that first the beten is going to be hit, and then the yerech, shlo lehotzi laz al mayim hamarim. Amazing, that because the Torah says that the beten's first and then the yerech, that even though he curses the beten, the yerech first, the kohen has to kind of point out that yes, the beten's going to be hit first and then the yerech, so that, amazing, here Rabbi Rosen point out that, lest somebody say, she went through the sota process, and all of a sudden, no, look at her, her stomach blew up first and then the yerech. Oh, the Torah must be all wrong. What? She goes through this whole process, that because the Torah says beten and then yerech, we have to make sure that that's the order that it happens. Like we had in, right? In Shemos, in Sefer Shemos, where Moshe had to say kachatzos alayla, right? That lest somebody have the clock off by a minute or two, they say, oh, this whole thing, it really just random. Oh, Hashem said it was midnight, it was a minute after midnight. Unbelievable that a person can be rationalizing in that type of way. It says the Mishnah, let's just try to do the Mishnah. There was a bunch of other thoughts that I wanted to share, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do. Shimshon halach after enough. Shimshon went after his eyes. Nikru plishtim es enav. Therefore, the plishtim poked out his eyes. Shnemar v'yochazu plishtim v'vaynakru es enav. We see her again. Mida k'neged mida. Avshalom nisgo b'saro l'fikach nitla. Avshalom chased after his hair, so to say. He beautified his hair. He made his hair beautiful. Therefore, he was hung by his hair. He was riding on his horse, and his hair got caught by the tree. I remember being on a tour right outside of the old city there, kind of down there in that alley. In that valley, and they say, this is the tree that Avshalom's hair got pulled on. Baruch Hashem, Eretz Yisrael. Ulfisha Baal Eser, Plagshe Aviv, and because he came on 10 Pilakshim of his father, which maybe that sheds light on yesterday, that coming on the Pilagish of our parents, somebody's coming on the Pilagish of his father is not a good thing. Ulfikach Nosnu Bo Eser Lunbios. He got Eser Lunbios, which were 10 spears that went through him. Shinemar Vayisabu Asara Anashim, Nosei Klei Yoav, that they kind of circled him. The Naarim, and he was pierced with those spears. Ulafisha Nog She Gonav Shlosha Genovos, and because he kind of stole three things, three hearts, Lev Aviv, Lev Bezin, Lev Yisrael, he was a very, very charismatic person. If we read through the story, and we go through the story in depth, it's unbelievable what happened there. Extremely sad, right? Lefikach Neskobo Shlosha Shivatim, then three other kind of spears were pierced through him. Shenemar Vayikach Shlosha Shvatim bekapo vayitkaim b'leiv Avshalom v'chein linin tova. But not just is this a negative thing. This mina k'negi mina that we've been describing for the last 40 minutes or so is not just bad. Oh, bad. But punish him. No, but also by good things. Miriam himtina l'Moshe shachas, and we know that the mita tova is better than the mita pranas. So Miriam, who just waited like an hour, so to say, or about an hour, it's like some time for Moshe when he was waiting in the basket. What happened to her? Miriam Imtina, sorry, I lost my place. Shachas Shnemar Vatesatzav Achoso Merachok, that she was watching from far. Levigach Nisaklu Lo Yisrael Zayin Yomim B'Midbar. The Jews waited for 7 days in the Midbar when she had Sarah. Shnemar V'Am Lo Nasa Ad Yosef Miriam. They waited until she was once again with them, and no longer in the quarantine. Yosef Zocha Likboris Aviv. Yosef was Zocha to bury his father. Chevron, Parshas Chevron, Chayisar Baruch Hashem. Parshas Chevron, right here. It should be safe and yes. The Ein Bachiv Gadol Menu, and he was the viceroy, he was the greatest of his brothers. Shema Vayal Yosef Lekboros Aviv, Vayal Yimo Gam Rechav Gam Proshim. He escorted his father to go up to get buried. Milon Gadol Miyosef Shlo Nisasek Bo Ela Moshe. Therefore, how great is it that Yosef was buried by Moshe Rabbeinu? What a schus. Yosef buried his father, so Moshe buried Moshe. So Yosef buried Moshe. So Moshe buried Yosef. Moshe brought the bones back. He brought the bones back up to Eretz Yisrael. Thank you. Moshe Zocha Batzmos Yosef. Moshe. Right. He went down, right? He kind of went down when everybody was gathering up all the spoils, right? By Makas Hoshech, he focused on bringing out Yosef's bones. Unbelievable. So Moshe Zocha Batzmos Yosef. Moshe that merited to bring out Atzmos Yosef, Ein Bisto Godel Mano, and he's the greatest Jew, so who's going to bury Moshe? Oh, Shneimar Veikach Moshe as Atzmos Yosef Imo, Mi Godel Moshe Shalonis Asik Bo El HaMoko. Therefore Hashem's going to bury Moshe. Hashem's already going to take him, as the process scribes, right? Moshe died, but so to say, he was taken only by Hashem. Shneimar Veikbor Oso Begai, Loel Moshe Bilvad Amru El Al Kol Tzadikim. But it's not only Moshe that Hashem takes him, but on Kol Tzadikim. Shneimar V'lach Lefanu Tzidkecha For Hashem Ye'asvecha. That Hashem is going to kind of pull together everybody, all the Tzadikim, in that type of way. But let's just do we have a minute? It's 45. You just want to go over a minute. That Hamakom we said before, because we just had Hamakom and El Hamakom, and Hamakom is associated with death, right? It's very interesting, fascinating. Hamakom is all those places. I heard Rabbi Rosher point out a while ago, years ago, I heard this and stuck with me since, is that when we describe the name Hamakom, Hamakom is often associated with sad tragedies, challenges. Hamakom Yinachem Eschem. Hamakom Yirachem Aleim. Hamakom by the Russia in the Dalet Banim. Hamakom here. Hamakom a few times that came up on the daf today. Hamakom. Because just like when we see a vacuum of Kedusha, perhaps a vacuum of Hashem in this world, we say, Hamakom! There is no vacuum. He's everywhere. Up, down, all around. Hashem's at Hamakom. So when there are bad things, we say Hamakom to show that Hashem is everywhere. He's guiding every single thing that happens, even if we don't understand. We wish him an excellent day. And Bezrat Hashem tomorrow. Big daf once again. Thanks everybody for coming, and it's a Schuss.